Welcome to another episode of Recon from Play Board Games Better. Hi, I'm Rich Shea. This episode covers Eminent Domain, the deck-building game by Seth Jaffe from Tasty Minstrel Games. First, let's be clear, this is not a game about getting land for municipal development. It's a deck-building space empire game. In Recon, I won't concentrate on rules or reviewing the game. Other folks have done a great job with that. But a short review is in order. This is a great game if you like the deck-building genre. It is streamlined, and the length is just right for the depth. The ratio is probably the golden mean. There appear to be several viable strategies for victory, and player interaction, well, indirect, will make you realize it is not multiplayer solitaire. If you are not able to capitalize on your opponent's strategies, you will suffer from inefficiency, the deadly sin in Eminent Domain. My son, an ardent and effective Magic player, likes this game immensely and beat my play into shape quickly. Your card shark friends will have an early advantage, but pay attention, and your game will improve. After I got respectable playing my son, I managed to win the New England Regional Championship at TotalCon. It wasn't a big tournament, and I'm not sure my skill would translate into a win in a bigger venue, but I'm getting decent at the game. The toughest aspect of the rules is the distinction between action and role. It seems simple once you get it, but when you teach the game, you realize it is not that simple. For an action, play one card from your hand and do what it says under action. Then, for a role, take any card from the top of the stacks in the middle and do what it says under role. The role is augmented with the matching symbols on cards from your hand plus planets and technology cards you control showing the same symbol. Opponents may, if they have cards or planets with required symbols, follow your role, performing the same role, or dissent and just draw a card. Dissent seems an unfortunate choice of words for the not follow action. I just wish I had a better one. If the theme were that you were competing leaders working for the same galactic hegemony, dissent would be a sensible label, but if that is the theme, it got lost somewhere in development. The other tricky concept is that cards acquired by research go to hand, not to the discard pile, as they do in many deck-building games. You will notice many deck-trimming cards. This is not an accident. Culling your deck during a game is a very important operation. Not a requirement, but if you aren't altering your deck by removing cards at some point, you should have a very cogent explanation to give yourself if you lose. If your deck becomes a chaos-ridden monstrosity, you had better already have a lead and try to hold it as you push the game to an end. The game ends when stacks run out in the middle. 2- and 3-player games end when one stack depletes. 4-player games end when 2 stacks deplete. An extended 3-player game removes 1 or 2 cards from each stack at the start of the game and runs until 2 stacks run out. Typically, the first stack to run out will be for a shared strategy. If everyone uses colonize and not military, it will be a short game. The more divergent the player's strategies, the longer they will have to implement them. Every turn, you will pull 1 card off 1 stack, and if you have a strategy heavily based on 1 roll, you will deplete that stack relatively quickly. The other game end condition is depleting the influence tokens through trade. As in Race for the Galaxy, this also ends the game. It's less common than depleting stacks, but a real trade engine or two can do the trick, and unlike Race, the number of influence points available does not vary with the number of players. The planets. Most of your victory points will come from planets you control, so let's look at the distribution of their values and extra effects. You will start with a 2-point planet that costs 2 colonize or 2 ships to take over. Of the 6 start planets, there are 2 of each of the 3 types, fertile, advanced, or metallic. Each can produce 1 resource of 1 of the 4 kinds, silicon, that's purple, water, that's blue, food, that's green, iron, that's orange. I'm just guessing on the silicon iron colors based on the planets that make them. 2 of the start worlds make iron and 2 make silicon. There is 1 planet for each of the other resources. There are 27 more planets in the standard deck to survey and take over in the base game. There are 9 of each type. They score from 2 to 5 points at the end of the game. The expansion bonus planets add 9 cards. 3 are prestige planets, and 6 are utopian planets. Takeover costs. Except for the start worlds, no planet has equal colonize and military takeover costs. For each set of 9 standard planets of the same type, there are 3 sets of costs. 3 planets cost 6 fighters or 3 colonized cards. 3 planets cost 5 fighters or 4 colonized cards. And 3 planets cost 4 fighters or 5 colonized cards. The 6 utopian planets cost 6 fighters or 5 colonized cards. And the 3 prestige planets are all different at 5 and 6, 6 and 5, and 7 fighters or 4 colonized cards. On average, a planet costs 1 more fighter than colonized card. This isn't changed by the bonus planets. Each planet type is pretty consistent and meant to support a strategy. Resource distribution. The 3 planets of a type with identical costs produce the same resource, if any. All planets of a type will have among them the same pair of symbols. For example, the 6-3 fertile planets have a food and water resources, and the 4-5 fertile planets have food. Many planets have a roll symbol that will let it supplement a roll. For metallic planets, it's either survey or warfare. For fertile planets, it's colonize or produce. For advanced planets, it is trade or research. The 3rd card of each 4-5 and 5-4 set expands your maximum hand size by 1. So there are 6 of each symbol type and 6 hand size expansion cards in the deck. The utopian cards have 1 of each roll symbol distributed across the 6 cards. The distribution of influence points across the planets is a little tricky. There are 7 2-point planets, 14 3-point planets, 5 4-point planets, and 1 5-point planet. So 3 points is the typical planet, and it's also the average value for the standard planets. The 9 bonus planets are 6 2-point planets and 3 6-point planets. This adds 40 points over the 9 new planets. This makes the planet values more variable and raises the average to 3 1/3 points. All the 4 military, 5 colonized planets are 3 influence points. Unless they expand your hand size, then they're 2 influence points. The same holds true for the 5 military, 4 colonized planets, except for the metallic planet with the hand size expansion. It has 3 influence points, but it doesn't produce a resource. The 6 military, 3 colonized advanced planets are all 4 influence points. The one with no roll symbol or hand size expansion produces a resource. The 6-3 fertile planets are 2 influence points for the 2 with roll symbols and 3 influence points for the one without. They all produce water and food. The 6-3 metallic planets are 4 influence points if they have a roll symbol and 5 influence points for the planet without a roll symbol. Resource production. Different kinds of resources are only important when using some of the advanced research cards, but they can be quite powerful. Only the metallic planets make iron, and only 5 of the planets do that. They are 5 of the 6 cheaper cards. Only advanced planets make silicon. 7 of the planets do that. All the cheaper ones and the 3 influence 6-3. The fertile worlds make food on the 4-5s, water on the 5-4s, and both on the 6-3s. A little thought shows that it is cheaper to colonize if you want to set up a trading strategy. You can get the uber-fertile planets very inexpensively and have a good chance of having your colonized capabilities augmented by planet symbols. Warfare seems to be disadvantaged all around, but especially in trying to build a trade strategy. Maybe warmongers should go for slash and burn and research for power. That is certainly what the metallic planets lay out. Will an analysis of the technology deck restore warfare's efficiency? Technology. There are 6 kinds of level 1 technology cards, and 4 of each kind. These four are distributed in pairs in two of the three kinds of planets. Each has an action that's better than a standard roll card's. Improved Colonize is in the Metallic and Advanced decks. It lets you settle two planets, or settle a planet, and place the card under another planet. Each has a Colonize symbol. The other symbol is one of anything except Produce. Improved Survey is in the Fertile and Advanced decks. It lets you draw three cards from your deck into your hand. Each has a Survey symbol. The other symbol is one of anything except Warfare. Improved Production is in the Metallic and Advanced decks. It lets you produce two resources. Each has a production symbol. The other symbol is one of anything except Colonize. Improved Warfare is in the Fertile and Advanced decks. It lets you draw two fighters or attack a planet. Each has a Warfare symbol. The other symbol is one of anything except Survey. Improved Trade is in the Metallic and Fertile decks. It lets you collect an influence marker without using a resource. Each has a trade symbol. The other symbol is one of anything except Research. Improved Research is in the Metallic and Fertile decks. It lets you draw a card and remove up to three cards in hand from the game. Each has a Research symbol. The other symbol is one of anything except Trade. Aside from the attempted symmetry, the distribution of level 1 research seems to go against the grain of the corresponding level 2 and 3 research described below. For example, Improved Warfare and Improved Survey are not in the Metallic Planet deck, but the higher level research cards in the Metallic deck are focused on Warfare and Survey advantages. This continues for the other decks. The Advanced deck doesn't have Improved Trade or Research, but the higher level technologies focus on those. Similarly, the level 2 Fertile technologies concentrate on colonizing and producing, but Improved Colonization and Improved Production are in the other decks. Total roll symbol distribution across the technology deck is even, with each symbol available 8 times in level 1 and 3 times in level 2 over all decks. Each symbol is also featured once in the two level 2 technologies that just put symbols out for you to use all the time. So far, this is all about symmetry, but what are the strategies, or at least operational concepts, that the technologies support? To get planets out, you need a cycle of Survey, followed by Colonize or Attack. Only Survey Team, a Metallic Level 2 research, supports Survey directly. Improved Survey actually just cycles your deck faster. For the Survey roll, these cards are just one Survey symbol. Colonize actually gets a minor boost from Improved Colonize. You might settle two planets for an action, but that is very tough to pull off. More likely, you will settle a planet and then stick the card under another planet to get ahead on colonizing it. Terraforming, which is a Fertile Level 2 technology, is the only higher level card that helps, but note that you have to ignore discounts provided by symbols on your planets or permanently placed technologies. The ability to count as two colonized symbols and then colonize can be quite efficient, though. Warfare gets the most advantages from advancing technologies if you can get several metallic planets. Improved Warfare is flexible, and getting two fighters is one of the best level 1 capabilities. The big advantage is that three of the four metallic level 2 technologies directly assist with Warfare. Minus 2 to Warfare costs can be a big advantage if you are out of the trade war anyway. The others are great too. The level 3 metallic card gives you one of two awesome capabilities. Having two actions may seem the obvious choice, but reversing the order of roll and action can let you survey a planet and attack it the same turn. This could be a huge advantage if used correctly, especially if your strategy is planet research only. Weapon Emporium is potentially useful for a warfare strategy, but you usually have a better use for fighters. It could help you end the game sooner by depleting the influence tokens while not leaving you falling as far behind in trade. The Produce Trade cycle has four helpful cards. There are two in each of the Advanced and Fertile decks. The Abundance Fertile Ground card is perhaps the weakest of the set. If you're going for a Produce Trade strategy, these cards will greatly increase your take. None of the cards directly help with research, although the two symbols on Data Network An advanced level 2 technology is nothing to sneer at. The remaining cards are about efficiency. This is mostly about getting rid of cards to tune your deck. Data network, streamlining, and hyper-efficiency are there to do just that. The other kind of efficiency is cycling through your deck quickly to get the cards you want in hand. Adaptability, dissension, and data networks do that. Notice that data network works both ways. Dissension is more powerful when there are more players in the game. Of course, that also makes the bureaucracy flip side more valuable too. Adaptability is probably the most powerful card in the game. To get it, you have accumulated research cards and quite possibly increased their density through pruning. Now you can execute a produce trade strategy very quickly, even if you have to acquire more advantageous technologies. Adaptability can be very powerful if your opponents are likely to pick roles you would want to follow. In a two-player game, this is less likely, but your opponents will always be afraid you will follow once you have this ability. So, what are the strategies, or at least operational concepts? Research. First, let's be clear that a certain amount of research is pretty much required. Even a very efficient survey warfare cycle is not going to win a game on its own. That said, I'm not sure you can generate enough influence with research to win the game directly. In the latest set of games between my son and I, the player who got two of the level 3 technologies lost every time. This could just be a fluke, but it does demonstrate that research alone is not a strategy. Pruning your deck. Early in the game, you have to emphasize getting planets and some technologies. Then you have to decide how you will win the game. This might involve massively destroying much of your deck and rebuilding it into a point engine. At the very least, your most used roles will have put too many of some cards into your deck, slowing down your ability to get the other cards you need in hand. Aggressive use of research cards for their action may be more effective than getting a single fighter or placing one colony card. You will end up with more survey cards than you want pretty soon too, unless you are so clever and lucky that you can just follow to explore the planets you need. While it is possible to just manage the chaos, you would probably prefer one or more of the technologies that give you real card-destroying power. Even streamlining keeps your deck from growing bigger. My son Rich says, "You mentioned the importance of thinning your deck out. I think that it is even more important to do so in this game than in, say, Dominion. Why? Because this game gives you cards in your starting deck that may not be useful for your strategy. In Dominion, you start with victory point cards and gold cards. Sure, they're not the best ones, but just about every strategy in the game involves having victory points and gold. On the other hand, in Eminent Domain, you might have some cards in the starting deck that become completely useless. If you are on the warfare plan, then the two colonized cards are just not very good. Hand size. 6 of the planets will increase your hand size by 1. It's a good advantage to get some and a big disadvantage to have fewer cards in hand than your opponents. Ideally, you'd like to be able to choose from your entire deck every turn, but that is unlikely. Having a bigger hand size has the obvious advantage of more cards to choose from for actions and roles, but it also has the other advantage of cycling through your deck faster. So think carefully before throwing one of these planets back into the pile for someone else to have. Scoring is how you win. Most of the point scoring in the game is a two-step process. Survey to get a planet, colonize or warfare to score the points, and get any other benefits of the planet, or produce goods, then trade to score points. Research can score points directly, but it typically follows a planet, colonize, or conquer earlier in the game. Except for survey, you would like a reasonably large number of the cards you need available, so it'll be a while before useful cards get in the way. For survey, though, what is the right number? You don't need to see every planet, and each planet is useful. But it is likely that one kind of planet best fits your strategy, and you want at least a pair of those planets while the technology cards you need are available. A draw of 3 or 4 planets gives you a good selection, especially if you are seeking a planet type. Getting hand expansion or a specific type of good is tougher. For example, there are only 6 planets that expand hand size. You can expect them to be grabbed the first time through the planet deck. Drawing 5 or 6 planets to look at is probably overkill. Survey is cluttering your deck at this point. Produce trade. If you're going to pursue produce trade as a strategy, you need to decide when you have enough potential production and start dumping colonized warfare cards as you collect produce trade capabilities. I think that 5 to 7 production spots on your planets is as many as you could probably fill or empty in a single roleplay, even after tuning your deck. There are only 24 influence tokens available before triggering the end of the game. The more players in a game, the sooner you better start the cycle. Once you start that, it is a signal to any slash and conquer strategists to end the game as soon as possible. If you are getting bonuses for production trade of any kind, you will soon be racking up points faster than any other player. That is a reason to start the cycle early. Conquer and technology. Basically, this calls for using warfare to conquer as many planets as quickly as you can, augmenting the ability with technology. First, you want one non-metallic planet to be able to pick up one or more improved warfare. Then, you want two metallic planets to be able to get at least two of the level 2 technologies that accelerate your plan for conquest. After that, any conquered planet is a good planet. You'll probably be throwing away survey and even warfare cards. Don't turn up your nose at a chance to grab a level 3 technology, but the level 2s are your best friends. Colonize and technology. I'm not sure this is as strong as the warfare route, if you're going to ignore produce trade, but it can probably be made to work. There are technologies that benefit colonization, but they don't pile on the same way that the warfare technologies do. If your game has multiple players going after warfare or produce trade, you might get away with grabbing all the colonization advantages and make a run for the end game before the others get all their advantages going full tilt. Mix and match. I haven't experimented with a mixed strategy. I think you have to decide early if you're going military or colonize, but I could be wrong. It might be possible to grab a planet early with one method, then dump that method for the rest of the game. However, I think it would be inefficient, because you need at least a third colonizer warfare just to get your starting planet quickly. I feel the same about doing produce trade in a half-hearted way. You would need to pick a few of the roll cards up instead of what you really need, just so you can follow the roll of others. It might work by minimizing the advantage of other players going all in on produce trade, but it's probably also slowing down whatever other strategy you're using. I hope that you found this view into the game Eminent Domain informative and enjoyable. If you haven't had a chance to play it, I've only played it once or twice, I encourage you to spend some time on this game before you decide if it's a good match for you. I think it's a great game, especially for its length, and worth repeated play. It is also nicely produced and not very expensive. It will give you new ways to think about deck building and strategy in general. Thanks for listening. Hope to get back on the air soon with another episode of Recon and some of my other series, looking a little more deeply at some of the other games that have been around for a while.